Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Is the music that I would have playing in my head had I been doing the Chicago Triathlon today, which is about as likely as me flying off the top of this building. Yeah, I can see the athletes out there. I see them on half of Lakeshore Drive. Started off with a 1.5-kilometer swim in Monroe Harbor, which you should just get a medal for that, jumping in the lake.
It's got to be freezing.
Well, I'm thinking of the bacteria count.
That, too.
I'm thinking that, like, most of your skin is disintegrated by now from bacterial matter that's been...
Who knows what's in there?
Been in there since Chicago Fest went on back in the day.
Chicago Fest.
So you do your 1.5-kilometer swim, and then there is the 24.7-mile bike race up and down Lakeshore Drive. At least they keep it on Lakeshore Drive. I will give them that one.
Yeah, that helps.
Instead of going all over the city. But that does not prevent the disruptions, because then there is the 6.2-mile run along the lakefront, finishing on Columbus Drive. And all the streets are shut down downtown today. This is actually, to me, this is actually worse than the marathon. Today, my least favorite Sunday of the year.
Yeah, none of that sounds fun.
The activities themselves?
The activities, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, running the mile in high school used to ruin my day, so.
I always hated running.
Yeah.
I don't get the, I get an adrenaline rush running. I have hated running ever since I was a little fat.
Mm-hmm.
ever since I was a little fat kid.
Right there with you. Not my favorite.
I did suggest many years ago that the triathlon should be like one block of eating cake. One block, you eat fried chicken.
The junk food triathlon?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's only like one block, because I think anything beyond that would be too strenuous. Because, you know, it's not easy to, you know, walk briskly and eat fried chicken.
No.
Even more difficult to eat chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm. That's a talent.
That's a two-hand operation.
Yeah.
What was the I can't remember what the third was. Maybe deep fried Snickers. I can't remember.
Oh,
something like that.
You'd have to be like some Doritos challenge or something. Yeah. You know?
Okay. Yeah, walking taco.
Yeah, walking taco.
Yeah, something with Doritos would be nice for the third part of the
walking. Might even be too fast. Maybe we call it a mosey, a moseying taco.
Yeah.
I was thinking more one of those motorized scooters like they have at the grocery store. Me. Can I have more chocolate cake, please?
Yeah.
Me.
I'm going to rerun this block real quick. Hold on.
Stuck in the candy aisle.
Yeah.
Could I have some milk? It'd be good.
Milk is always in the back, too. So yeah.
Right.
True. Got to work for it.
Yeah.
That's to wash it down. That's what you get at the finish line. You get a nice, big, tall icy glass of milk in my triathlon of my dreams. Fatty McFatty. But anyway, the streets are all shut down today. And I actually could not park in first world problems. Oh, poor me. I couldn't actually park in our building today, which usually you just drive right in.
Right.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. I could not get in today. I couldn't get near the building. I'm not one to complain, Jack. You know me.
No, no. Something's really got to tick you off to get you to complain.
No, I'm a go-with-the-flow kind of person.
Oh, yeah.
So where'd you have to park?
Some other building.
Oh.
Good luck me remembering where I left my car.
That'll be a fun activity after.
Good, just take an Uber home.
Good brain teaser.
But, yeah, Jack also had a problem, I hear. Oh, an angry Jack. There's nothing I like better than angry, because Jack is, like, cool under stress, handles problems when he produced the show for all those years. You know, rarely, I don't think ever did I ever see you, you know, like, get mad or lose your temper.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, there's nothing I like better.
It's very popular, actually. A lot of people like Angry Jack, yeah. But... I actually did. Maybe I missed some of the closures. I was able to take Wacker all the way up into here, and then I could park in the lot next to us. But I was scared when I saw Lower Wacker close, because whenever that happens, I don't know how to navigate the city well enough. I should, after all these closures I've dealt with. But I think the last time I had trouble, I had to call Andy, and he had to guide me in. So
that's right.
That's right.
I remember that.
I think the one time I really got mad was I got here at 8:50, I think, and the show starts at 9.
Yeah.
And you were by the coffee machine. I walked in. I'm like, what's with these closures?
Tapping my foot.
Yeah.
Where have you been, mister?
Yeah. Like, what's with these closures? And you just looked at me, and you're like, oh, I like this.
Yeah, this is the first 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah. Jack is not happy.
What's the worst thing you've done when Angry Jack shows up?
Worst thing I've done?
Have you ever punched a hole in the wall? Picture you punching a hole in the wall.
No, I haven't done that. Probably just like watching like the
punch
Cubs.
You ever punch a guy?
No, I never punched a guy.
Producer Eli, did you just come in and punch him in the stomach today?
No, that's what Sammy's for.
He's been ready to during some of those Bears games we've sat through.
The Bears gets everybody riled up.
You two have learned from Hamp and OB, so I expect anything.
Oh, yeah.
They're the best role models you can ask for.
That's right. Next week, they'll be back. Preview show.
I'm very excited.
Eli and I were talking about it before the show. We're always excited to
there
see those guys.
Nothing more entertaining than those guys.
Nope. Especially when they lose.
Maybe this year, if they do particularly poorly, we can add a character to the show, Hamp, OB, and Angry Jack.
I kind of like that.
And you try to punch Hamp in the stomach.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Watch what happens.
That sounds like a short segment.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Might be entertaining for everybody else, but might hurt.
Very entertaining. Yeah, I love people. People love when there are traffic problems downtown. I actually begin to get texts like Thursday and Friday. Are you going to be there Sunday to complain about the road closure? People actually request because it's so annoying. The marathon Sundays have typically been the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to navigate, especially here because they start right by us.
Yeah, surrounded by it. We're circled by it. Today was bad, too, though.
Yeah. OB was really mad about the marathon last year. And he lives like not even 5 minutes from here, and it took him 40 minutes to get here.
I do remember that Sunday of him coming in.
Yeah.
And he was not happy.
He was hot.
Not happy about the whole thing.
Yeah.
847 area code texts in, who is Jack?
I don't know.
What? Who is Jack?
Oh, the world wants to know.
That's me.
He's only been the producer of the show for...
It was 3 years.
3 years, and then got promoted, is what we're calling it, to John Landauer's show. And now is filling in for Andy on sports, while the sports department here is being reorganized with Dave Ennett's retirement.
A reshuffle.
Would you call him a jack of all trades?
I like that.
Love that. jack of all trades.
I can do a few things.
Yeah. 708 area code text in. Wednesday is Dave Bennett's last show. Andy will take over on Thursday.
There we go.
Oh.
Yeah, I was looking at the thing we put online. That's what it says, too. So Wednesday's his last day.
I love that the listeners know more about what's on the air than we do.
I just know when I'm supposed to be here. That's about it.
Nobody tells me anything. Last I knew, I was filling in for Kathy and Judy. Are they still even? Are they even still? I don't even know what. So that's the latest. That's what's going on in our little world around here today. I'm going to be doing the far-flung forecast.
Ooh, oh, there we go.
Excellent. For today, because, you know, Shawnee is, as we had mentioned at the top of the show, Shawnee is off for celebrating his 83rd birthday.
His bender.
He is celebrating his bender. He takes Pepto-Bismol and mixes it with a wine spritzer and goes nuts.
Seems bold.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Sounds like a tree time activity.
Got my first email this week, by the way, about our upcoming tree time show.
It's that time of year.
It's August. They're giving me dates. Are you available on blah, 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 blah dates for the tree time show? I'm like, it's August.
It's I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow.
I don't know if I'm... Yeah, I mean, right now I'm available because you asked me 6 months in advance. But anything could happen.
Lock it in.
But anywho, so Shawnee's off. He normally does the far-flung forecast. But I think I've got a nice one today. I'm going to do my best to fill his shoes with America's most favorite popular feature. That'll be coming up after the 9:30 newscast. We've got some special guests on the show today in theater, in movies, our A-list interviews. Dr. Wheat will be joining us today for the Week in Health segment that's coming up in just a few minutes, right after the 9:30 news and the far-flung forecast. A little food time action today. Got some good fun for you today. I'm glad you're all here with us. Please stay where you are. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, are you ready for this week's far-flung forecast?
Bring it on.
Rob, you couldn't look more ready for this.
I am pumped.
I'm impressed that Jack is still awake.
No, I missed my nap.
Usually by 9:30, Jack is sawing logs, to be honest. So
I have my newfangled device ready.
Very nice. Because I was just going to tell you, get your newfangled devices. And what else are your
compass and protractor?
Compass and protractor, as Shawnee always says. Because today we are going across the big water to Monmouth, Wales, United Kingdom.
Mm.
Monmouth, Wales, United Kingdom, where a classic song was released on this day. 50 years ago, the song actually began its infancy in the late 1960s when its lead singer and songwriter was a student at the Ealing Art College there. He and a couple of other guys were all part of a group at the time, fledgling along, and one of the members of the group remembers that this song was taking forever to write, and that this song was full of gaps that he was told would be filled with something operatic going on in the middle of the song. There was this song which was told to be enough material for three songs, because the way that it was in this infancy stage, the song was 7-8 minutes long, which was, you know, completely unheard of for rock and roll radio at the time. But at the Rockfield Studios in Monmouth, Wales, the song began to come together and falling into what was called glam metal rock in the day. The other performers in the group were the legendary Brian May and drummer Roger Taylor, who, along with the lead singer and songwriter of this group, were incorporating overdubs, 160 tracks of vocal overdubs that had never really been done before, with words in the songs like Mamma Mia, Galileo, Figaro, Scaramouche, Scaramouche, Can You Do the Fandango? If you haven't already figured out, it is the classic Queen song, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
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 Figaro.
Magnifico!
Oh, I'm just a poor boy and nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family.
Think about this. 50 years ago, 1975, August 24th, this was the result of years and years and years of songwriting. People said radio will never play this song because the final product got it down from about 8 minutes down to 6 minutes. And the record company, everybody said that there's no way radio stations will play this song because it's way too long.
Now you can't stop them.
Right. Classic now.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready to do your head bobbing. Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
Classic of all time. In Monmouth, Wales, the United Kingdom. It is 74 rocking degrees. Get to the Week in Health coming up next.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
9:40, it's Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the Week in Health. We make you stronger, healthier, better. For that, we go to Dr. Santina Wheat, Northwestern, to take your questions, answer your calls, 312-981-7200. Dr. Wheat, good morning, and happy Sunday to you.
Good morning, happy Sunday. How are you?
Doing very well. I was reading this week that the city of Chicago has experienced its first three human cases of West Nile virus for 2025. All three people began experiencing symptoms, human cases confirmed in Lake and DuPage County. Let's start from the beginning with this and explain, what is West Nile virus?
Absolutely. West Nile virus is a disease that is spread by mosquitoes. And the symptoms can feel pretty vague, actually. And so it can be feel like any other virus that you might have. It often has fever and headache and body aches. It can even have vomiting, diarrhea, and a rash. It can be pretty bad and actually result in hospitalization or death, unfortunately. And unfortunately, we don't have the best treatments for it.
How does one get the West Nile virus?
Usually you get it from an infected mosquito, which is why it's really important to try to prevent yourself from being bitten by mosquitoes whenever you can, especially when we start to see that West Nile is around.
And I would imagine to keep your environment as mosquito repellent as possible, pools of water.
Exactly.
I don't even know what else mosquitoes like. Except my bare skin when I'm outside. I know they like that. But
absolutely.
But I know standing water is where mosquitoes breed. So, you know, if you have those, you know, try to break those pools of water up if you can, to keep the mosquitoes away and therefore keep the West Nile away. How is it different from, just a mosquito bite, regular mosquito bite?
A regular mosquito bite usually just causes irritation. It causes that local reaction, and some of us have worse mosquito bites than others. Some of us have those big lesions where you have the big hive that feels like it's taking up your entire leg, and some of us don't have very much. But this is actually a virus that you're getting at the same time, and so you do have a real viral illness as opposed to just the local site reaction.
I was going to say, aside from the regular itchy bump that you might get, and I have seen people that get welt-like symptoms, giant bumps, from that. That's just the person's metabolism when something like that happens, or is that something the person should be concerned with if they have such an ultra reaction to a mosquito bite?
Sometimes it's just a person, and sometimes you will find that, especially when you move to a new location, you'll find that you react more strongly to the mosquitoes in that area, and it's sort of just a different reaction. And it's not necessarily something that you need to go seek medical care for unless it becomes larger and infected, maybe sometimes from scratching it and causing like a causing a break in the skin that lets an infection get in there. If it looks like it's infected, then that's a time to come in and see us. But otherwise, you can usually just take antihistamines or put a little bit of cream on it to try to do your best from feeling the itchiness that happens.
Yeah, relieve that. So that's awful when that finally happens. What about repellents for it all? You see plenty of them on the store shelves. Are some better than others? Are some ones that you should avoid because of their chemical content?
That's absolutely true. There are some that are better to use than others. I would start not just with repellents, but even just wearing clothing that cover all of the different aspects of your skin. So making sure you're wearing long pants and long sleeves if you're going to be a place where there are lots of potential mosquitoes, like if you're going hiking. But DEET is the active ingredient that many repellents have, and so that can be in sprays, it can be in mists, and it's something that we tend to be really cautious of. It's generally safe to use, but you want to be careful that it doesn't get inside your eyes or your mouth, and you want to make sure you wash it off before you go to bed. But this is the one that is one of the oldest and most effective.
Okay, so DEET is what you should look for, but be careful with it. What about, natural repellents being advertised? I think of citronella as one, a plant, which is, said to keep mosquitoes away. Are things like that effective?
I will tell you, I actually have a citronella plant in my own backyard because I figure keeping away as much as possible is helpful. It can help repel mosquitoes. It is not going to be perfect, just like anything else. And so you still want to take into account those other preventive measures like covering totally, like I mentioned before, and still considering additional repellents that you might use.
Yeah. What about, I forget what the name, Avon had a product that everybody was talking about that was supposed to be so effective and non-chemical. Can't think of the name of it right now, but there are some sprays which are oils and things like that. Are those as effective as the DEET repellents?
They are not as effective, but it's still worthwhile to use it. You still want to do your best to try to keep the mosquitoes away, especially now that we've had these cases come up.
All right. So everybody just be careful, I guess, is the key to that. And cover yourself up as much as you can and, go from there. Avon Skin So Soft, I'm being told, is the repellent that everybody was talking about. It's a repellent and also an anti-itch spray. So there you go with that. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Wouldn't be a medical segment each week if we didn't have tons of questions about COVID vaccines. And 407 texts in, Is there an updated COVID vaccine available yet? And can you take it with your flu shot at the same time?
So I was looking up this morning to see if they were available yet. It is my understanding that it is not available yet in most areas. At the pharmacies are where most of us got COVID shots last year. That's where it was the most widely available. And many pharmacies had pulled the previous formulation from last year from their shelves in anticipation of the new ones. I have not seen any of my patients able to get the new ones yet. But yes, in answer to the second question, it is absolutely okay to get two shots on the same day. And so COVID and flu on the same day makes sense. It is definitely important to remember that vaccines rev up your immune system. And so you might not feel great for a day after getting that, though it's not actually getting the disease from the vaccine.
Yeah, somebody, a doctor told me that feeling that you get after you take the shot and you don't feel so great for a day or so, that's a sign that it's working. That's your immune system working. So, you know, while you may not feel so good, you should at least feel better that inside your body.
That it's doing its job.
That it's doing its job. Exactly right. What about getting the vaccinations in the same arm? Because that's also another thing where you have that soreness for a day or two afterwards. If you can isolate that all into one arm, is that a good idea, or is it better to spread it out?
That is really personal preference. I am a person that likes to get the same, the two vaccines in the same arm, especially if I've had the vaccine before. The main reason to spread it out is if you want to, like you said, limit the amount of soreness in just one side. But also, if you have them both on the same side, if you do have a local reaction, it's hard to tell which vaccine it came from. Mm. And so it would primarily be to see the difference. For my family, I tend to try to get it all on the same side, so only one arm hurts.
Yeah. Somebody's asking, are we in that time of year when you should be getting your flu shot? I think we are now, right?
We are, and I have heard of pharmacies having it already. Some people recommend that you wait just a little bit to get into September, but I really think it depends on your lifestyle and your immune status. If you have big travel coming up, if you are going into things where you're going to be around a lot of people, or if you're immunosuppressed, then I think it's worthwhile considering getting it early and making sure that you have access to it. If you are working remotely and not around a lot of people and aren't planning to travel until later, then it might be worthwhile to wait just a little bit. But I definitely have heard of people successfully getting their vaccines for this year at pharmacies.
I need to take a break, but I wanted to ask you about nasal spray instead of needle injection for vaccinations. We'll continue with Dr. Santina Wheat in just a moment.
We're Chicago's very own WGN.
9:54, the week in health. Dr. Santina Wheat on the line with us here answering your questions at 312-981-7200. And Ruth, oh, hello there, Ruth. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Great to be with you today.
Likewise.
My question is, I don't remember if it's a vaccine or an actual shot, but it's a DTP vaccine. It's supposed to be every 10 years, and I started doing that in 03, and then I did it again in 13. I should have done it in 23, but I didn't. Is it necessary to continue that or not?
I would absolutely recommend that you get it. The shot that you're talking about is the Tdap vaccine, and it protects against tetanus and pertussis. We mm-hmm. worry about tetanus if you were to have like a major cut. The way I learned about it in medical school is that person that steps on a rusty nail accidentally to protect against the tetanus toxoid. And so I absolutely recommend that one for safety. And then the P part is the pertussis, and that's whooping cough. And we have actually seen whooping cough going around more recently in the past year. And so it is one that I do recommend every 10 years. And then the other piece of that is if you've had it within the past, if you've had it more than 5 years ago and then you have a dirty cut, then we recommend that you get another one.
312 area code asks, what's your opinion about nasal sprays replacing vaccines or nasal sprays versus EpiPens for anaphylactic prevention?
So I think that whatever vaccine that you can get that you're willing to take is a great vaccine. The nasal spray for vaccines that I'm most familiar with is the flu shot or for the flu vaccine, and it does have a lot of limitations. It is only available for those who are 2 to 49, and it's not available for anyone that has several underlying medical conditions or immune suppression. So you really do want to make sure that you're a good candidate for it. But if you are otherwise healthy, then it is a great option. Similarly, for EpiPens, if that is how you can get the medicine in and it's going to be the most efficient, then I am always for the thing that is going to be the most effective for you as a person.
Yeah, and whatever is quickest, I guess. How does that compare, nasal spray versus injection, in terms of an allergic reaction?
It's really about, can you get it in fast? And so I most often prescribe the injection because that's what's been around the longest and many people are familiar using it. But we are seeing more and more medications that are coming on the market that offer nasal spray options, and having it as easy is a great thing to have out in the public.
Dr. Santina Wheat is a program director, Northwestern's Family Medicine. Always nice to talk with you, and we look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Flashing on some of my favorite episodes of Family Guy right now. Bird is the word, ongoing joke on the show. But that's not why I'm playing it. It has to do with the weirdest thing that I've seen. One of the weirdest things I've ever seen in downtown Chicago. I can't believe this was a number one hit at one time. Anybody who's got a lot of nerve complaining about today's music, when you made this a number one song in 1963.
That's a good point.
Song rocks. And all I can see is Peter Griffin from Family Guy dancing. If Schwani was here, I'd have to explain who Peter Griffin is.
I think it's fine.
Very nice. Nice substitute, Jack.
That's what I'm here for.
So, Jack Heinrich is here filling in for Andy on sports. Rob is filling in for Schwani today, who's celebrating his 83rd birthday, taking the day off today. So I'm walking here to the building because normally I park in the building. For you stalkers, who want to try to track me down on Sunday morning. But today I had to park in a nearby building because of the stupid triathlon. I couldn't get anywhere near.
Say it louder.
The building. I couldn't get into the building today. So I had to park nearby, and it was only a 3 or 4 block walk. It wasn't bad. But here's what I see. I see two women with looked like butterfly nets chasing birds,
huh?
On Michigan Avenue,
birds.
They would sneak up on what looked like sparrows to me. I wasn't really only half paying attention in the beginning. But then you see two people with big nets.
Right.
Chasing the birds, and the birds would fly away, and then they would go to another group of birds that were, you know, like mulling around on the sidewalk.
So they catch any air?
I don't think they did. But I thought, how, what's going on here? That, I wanted to get my own net and try to capture one of them.
Yeah, right. That is weird.
How weird is that? What would be the purpose of that? Except, you know, like some, I don't know. At first I thought, is a bird injured? And somebody's trying to capture an injured bird to, you know, nurse it back to health, to take it to a veterinarian, something. But these birds were perfectly healthy. They're sitting there minding their own business, eating what was ever on the sidewalk. And then these two net wavers come by, and they're with the nets trying to capture little birds.
That is an interesting Sunday morning activity.
Yeah. First time ever. You must have seen some weird things here in downtown Chicago.
Oh, I've seen plenty.
Can you talk about any of them?
Because
I guarantee.
I mean, when you get on Lower Wacker, you can't talk about much of what's going on down there.
I guarantee whatever story that you have, the story that I have that I cannot tell on the air, will top your story.
I bet.
It is the number one weirdest thing I've ever seen in a public place. Ever. It was back in my smooth jazz days.
Oh.
When I was working across the street at Casa del Smooth,
mm-hmm.
and I was parking on Lower Michigan Avenue, and I come up the stairs, and I see a person, and that's really all I can tell the story.
That's you could go so many different ways.
And there you'll have to wait till my book comes out.
Oh, okay. Your memoir?
My memoir. My memoir, Weird Things I've Seen in Downtown Chicago.
You could fill plenty of pages with that.
Nothing good ever happens after 12 midnight in downtown Chicago.
No.
Will be the name of my book. Yeah, so anyway, the two bird ladies, the last I saw them were running down Michigan Avenue chasing flocks of birds. For what reason? I don't know. Can anyone? I just thought, well, you know, maybe they're being nice. Maybe they're trying to help injured birds. They weren't. They were perfectly healthy. Well, you know how the birds gather on the sidewalk and
yeah.
People sometimes come out and throw bird seed or whatever down. Okay, well, here's the 847 area code says, Dean, sometimes scientists tag and release the birds for research.
Huh.
Did not look like research to me.
I was thinking maybe they thought they were going fly fishing and just misunderstood the assignment.
That makes sense.
That's possible. Eli is very glass half full.
That's why he's here.
847 area code has a slightly darker view of the whole thing. Dean, we were in Japan in April. Oh, gosh. Jeez. We were in Japan in April, and the market sell barbecued sparrows on a stick. Now, see, that couldn't possibly be what this was. I can't think of any rational reason except these two people were a little nutty.
That could happen down here.
Chasing birds down this with butterfly nets. Okay, well, that's all I have to say on the subject. If Jack's not going to share. Eli, have you ever seen anything weird on the streets?
I definitely have. Just recently, you know those like robots that can deliver food to your house if you don't want to get like DoorDash?
I see people like little baby buggies.
Yeah, I see
Aren't
people
they called something. They're called something. Those
I see them called like Coco or something. They might be different brands that are roaming around the city. But I see people like hitching rides on those. They're just like sitting on top and just
really?
catching a ride home with food from a bodega.
I totally would do that.
It happens more often than you'd think, though. Like you'd think that, like, because like those robots like to beep at you if you're standing in front of them in the street. Like you'd think maybe it would make noise if you were riding on top of it, but I guess not. It's happened enough times that this is clearly a trend.
It doesn't. They don't look strong enough to hold the weight of a person.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, they don't
just
move
look
fast
like
enough.
Small shopping carts.
It could be cool, maybe if they started like bucking the robot, like it was like a bull at a rodeo, just like a little defense in there. And then there's another guy I see by the lake every day when I go on a walk. I like to walk down the lakefront trail, and there's just a guy who rollerblades directly into the lake, just jumps off the concrete beach and
his rollerblades on.
Yeah, rollerblades on. Not much else.
Nice.
And he just takes the polar plunge several times a day, and I'll just stand there watching this for like 20 minutes. It's great entertainment.
Endless entertainment here in downtown Chicago. Though I don't know why anyone would want to send a National Guard troop down here to stop anything that's going on here. It's endless entertainment in downtown Chicago, clearly. Let's see here. Oh, people are speculating now. Let me see. 925 area code. I don't even know what area code. What's that from? 925. Never heard of it. Back in the day, restaurants would send their busboys outside to capture pigeons to serve as squab.
Okay. 925 from Google says California.
Yeah, the East Bay.
All right, well, that figures that somebody from California is suggesting squabs being served by these two butterfly ladies there. I don't know.
Your town, your sound, your very own WGN.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Coming up in the next half hour, our Week in Theater segment, BJ Jones from the Northlight Theater Company joining us. I can't believe they're going to be celebrating their 50th anniversary. That doesn't seem possible to me, but they are. BJ joins us to talk about what they have coming up for the celebration. Also, a little tribute this morning to the legendary Hal Prince, this day in theater history, coming up in just a bit. We're talking about the two ladies that I saw on Michigan Avenue this morning. Both of them were sort of dressed up, like if you're going to dress somebody up like I'm a bird watcher, that's how they were dressed up. They had those like sort of safari hats on. They had, vests with lots of pockets. They had, like, the cargo pants. They had the full getup of what I would think is this is how a bird watcher dresses. But also, they had their butterfly. Well, they weren't butterfly nets. They were nets, and they were trying to capture what appeared to me to be little sparrows. Not injured ones. These are, just you see birds in downtown Chicago, and they would swoop their net down trying to capture them. But the birds were too smart, and they would get away. And then these two ladies would chase after the birds, trying to capture the birds in these nets. What? Wait, you're laughing like you had never seen that, Rob.
Yeah, it sounds like they're doing something wrong.
That's what I'm just wondering. What could be the possible reason?
Well, I know I have some friends who actually go out on weekend mornings and even during the week, and they are bird watchers. They bring their cameras, and they're all about getting the shots, not necessarily getting the birds.
That I see. That I would get.
Yeah.
And I think, isn't it up by Lakeshore Drive by Montrose? Isn't that where there are lots of unusual birds? And
you'll see lots of people invest with a lot of pockets and cargo pants.
with the typical bird watching clothes. Or, as we like to call it, what Shawnee wears every single week.
That's right.
Here in the office every week.
With his sticker. His I voted sticker.
His I voted sticker. That's right. Jack has us down so much. It's pathetic.
I'm very observant.
You are. We just thought you were sleeping this whole time. Turns out you were paying attention.
Mental notes.
773 area code says there's a whole group of people that monitor bird strikes overnight. Maybe they were also tracking numbers of certain birds for migration pattern statistics.
Interesting.
Sounds like a fun way to spend your Sunday morning.
I don't know. I'm like, how do you do that? By chasing them around with a net?
Check their passports.
309 area code. Dean, have you actually seen scientists these days? Spiked neon hair, nose rings. So my view of what a bird watcher is apparently is quite outdated.
I guess.
The 925 area code once again checks in. Dean, I'm serious about the squawp. The people who go outside and catch pigeons and then serve them as squab. I'm serious about this. They would go out on the bridges on Lower Wacker Drive with butterfly nets. That's what I thought I saw, some people with butterfly nets. I went to Washburn Chef Training School back in the day, and that's what they would do. They would go out there. Tell you, does that sound delicious? A bird directly from Lower Michigan Avenue.
City bird.
That sounds yummy.
Catch of the day.
Yeah, wow.
217 area code says there are migrating birds block by block down Michigan Avenue. Maybe we just have so much to learn about our...
Seems like it.
Our little feathered friends on Michigan Avenue.
Well, we do love our birds. We talk about those plovers every year, right? Is that what they're called?
Which ones are those? Are those the...
Ploving plovers or something?
The ones that are like falcons? Or aren't there some that are predatory to keep pests off the street?
These are little birds that are on one of the beaches on the south side, I believe. And they have names for them, and they track when they come back, and they can tell who they are.
Rob seems to know quite a bit about this.
I'm going
to
say this is out of my realm of knowledge.
Check the newsroom for butterfly nets there, maybe. Time for the Week in Theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? Coming up in just a few minutes, we pay tribute to one of the greats in American theater, the legendary Hal Prince, 21-time Tony Award winner, Hal Prince. But before we get to that, let me throw out some other numbers at you. 50, as in 50. It is the 50th anniversary season for the Northlight Theater Company, founded in 1974. Its inaugural season, 1975-76. They have mounted over 250 productions, including 45 world premieres. Northlight has earned 238 Joseph Jefferson Awards, 36 awards, as well as 11 Edgerton Foundation for New Plays. And pretty much behind it all is its artistic director. For decades, since 1998, the great B.J. Jones, a two-time Jefferson Award winner himself. And it's great to have B.J. with us on our phone line this morning. Congratulations and happy anniversary, buddy.
Dean, it's great to be on again. Thanks very much for calling me.
Always wonderful to have you on. I couldn't believe when I learned that it was Northlight's 50th anniversary season, because it just seems like yesterday when it all just started and all the great work that has been put out there since then. How does it feel to you?
Well, Dean, it's it's a remarkable achievement for any theater to be 50 years old and to have had such a strong audience supporting us over those 50 years. We started off in the elementary school in Evanston as the Evanston Theater Company. First production was directed by Tony Award winner and Oscar nominee Frank Galati, and starring Mike Nussbaum, a play called Jumpers by Tom Stoppard. And I think it was an august beginning for a theater that's lasted 50 years. We then transformed ourselves into the Northlight Theater. We moved around a little bit, as many theaters do. But what's really exciting right now, Dean, is that we're building our own theater. We'll be back in Evanston, and it's going to be a beautiful space. And we're really excited. A year from now, we'll be preparing the first show in the new building that we will own.
That's amazing. How is construction going on that right now?
Oh, it's ahead of schedule. Our friends, our construction folks, Billy and Andrews, are doing an amazing job. We all love to go over, put on a helmet, and walk around. It's just an amazing feat.
Yeah, that's something. Where in Evanston will the new theater be?
It's on Church, west of the L and the Metra, so people will finally be able to get to us and walk just a few steps and be sitting in their luxurious seat in our brand new 285 seat theater.
That's fantastic. In the meantime,
and yes, there'll be plenty of parking, Dean.
Yeah. Well, I'm you don't build something new these days without providing plenty of parking. It's amazing the growth of Northlight. Especially the last 5-7 years, when some theaters have just simply gone out of business during and since COVID, you guys seem to be doing something right. What do you think that is?
You know, Dean, we have a very strong and committed audience base. You know, we came out of the pandemic in many ways stronger than ever. And it speaks to the audience base that we have. It's not just in Skokie and Evanston, but it's also Chicago, and it's also the North Shore of Chicago. We have audience subscribers that come from Wisconsin and from Indiana and all the way out in Rockford, and they've been amazingly loyal. You know, Dean, the first show I did in Evanston was in 1977. I'm embarrassed to say this. It was in 1977, and I know people who saw me in plays back in the 70s at Northlight, and they've been coming that long.
That's how loyal they are to
yes.
to the product. Yeah, I'm not one bit
well,
surprised.
It also speaks, actually, and thanks to you, Dean, who have continued to support Chicago theater the way that you have, that, you know, it's a measure of how strong the Chicago theater audience is and how committed they are. It's why so many plays have been born here and end up on Broadway.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, and especially lately. And, you know, I simply took the baton from the great Roy Leonard. And guys like Richard Christensen and, you know, people who have supported Chicago theater forever. And, you know, it's you guys, really. If you were not turning out the product, people would not be coming out after all of these years. So and it sure seems like it's going to continue that way with your 50th anniversary season that you've got coming up. I am so intrigued by the play that you are about to open, called The First Lady of Television, which you think might be about Lucille Ball or Carol Burnett, or some sort of lighthearted comedy. But it's actually, quite a different story about the early days of television that happened to be during this time when the government was going on witch hunts looking for people that they accused of communism. Tell us about the First Lady of Television.
Well, Dean, in 2009, my wife Candy and I were in New York, and it was a rainy day, and I opened up the New York Times and I saw a critic's pick film called Yoo-Hoo, Mrs. Goldberg by Aviva Kepner. And since we weren't going to go shopping, we went to a small movie theater, art movie theater near Lincoln Center, and we saw in a sold-out house, I might add, Yoo-Hoo, Mrs. Goldberg, about Gertrude Berg. And I am ashamed to say old enough to have remembered to seeing some of the old kinescopes of Gertrude Berg and her family show, which was the Goldbergs. And it struck me that this would make a great stage play. And I thought immediately of Cindy Gold, who was a dead ringer for Gertrude Berg. And so some years later, I had a conversation with Jim Sherman. I saw Jim. I've known Jim since he was on stage at Second City, and I've seen his plays. And he did a play called Chagall in School, and it, about Marc Chagall's early life. And I thought he's really good at biographical material with humor and insight. And so I told him about the film, and he's watched it, and he got excited about it as well. And 6 months later, he handed me a script of the Goldbergs going through the House Un-American Activities sort of witch hunt against the gentleman who played Gertrude Berg's husband on the show, Philip Loeb. And Philip Loeb, you know this, Dean, I know, but he was the founder of Actors Equity,
yeah.
And he was the founder of our union, AFTRA. And he was being, shall we say, witch hunted, accused of being a communist. And so and they put the pressure on Gertrude Berg to fire him. And in the first incarnation of the TV show on CBS, she refused. And now I've given it away, but it's historically accurate. In fact, Jim's play is so historically accurate. All the characters in the play are the actual characters, people who played the roles on the Goldbergs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a fascinating look. It's a true story. And what's remarkable about it for me, and this is going back to your kind words about the Chicago theater community. You know, we do a lot of new plays at Northlight, world premieres. And this is very much a homegrown product built around Chicago actors with a Chicago playwright and a Chicago theater. And I'm really excited because I know our audience always responds to work that tells them about something historically accurate that they may not know. And so that's what's really exciting about starting off our 50th season is we're telling them something that they may not know, but which is absolutely true and so well dramaturged by Jim Sherman and an extraordinary Chicago cast.
It couldn't be more poignant in these days of actual news of allegations and who's loyal and who's not loyal and who's American and who's not American. I mean, it's, you know, worth a look back to see something that really did go on really not that long ago.
No, the resonances are incredibly striking.
Yeah. It's called The First Lady of Television. It'll be opening in previews on September the 4th, and then officially opening on the 11th, running until October 5th for right now. What else do you have coming up for the season that you're excited about?
Well, the next production is going to be Gaslight, written by Stephen Dietz. It's an adaptation of the Patrick Hamilton play, which is very famous. It also is very resonant, obviously, because it's about a gentleman back in the Victorian age who is gaslighting, if you will. It's where the term came from, gaslighting his wife for his own personal gain. Following that, we have the Broadway hit Mary Jane by Amy Herzog, directed by Georgette Verdon, who is my associate artistic director, and it's really a moving piece about a young mother caring for her chronically ill child. And then finally, in a celebration of theater people, Paul Slade Smith, who is a local Chicago playwright, I love to do that, is written a piece called The Angel Next Door. And, you know, it's based on an older play. It's directed by Linda Fortunato, who lives in Evanston, starring her husband, Sean Fortunato, Chicago favorite. And it's a celebration of theater people. It is a very, very funny comedy. And that will lead us into our opening of our new building a year from now.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. If you want to get more information, go to northlight.org. At the moment, the box office is at 9501 Skokie Boulevard in Skokie, right across from Old Orchard.
And the telephone number is 847-673-6300.
Spoken like a real radio announcer there, BJ. I love that. Give you the next drag racing commercial that comes along. BJ Jones, artistic director, Northlight Theater, thank you so much. Congratulations on the 50th.
You're the best, Dean. Thanks for having me on.
The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment.
10:53 as we continue on our week in theater. Today we're going back on this day in theater history, the year 2017, when a musical retrospective opened called Prince of Broadway, saluting the life and career of the legendary producer Hal Prince, 21-time Tony Award winner, with shows like The Pajama Game, Damn Yankees, Fiddler on the Roof, A Little Night Music, Evita, Sweeney Todd, Phantom of the Opera, and so many more. Shortly before he passed away in 2019, Hal Prince talked about one of his classic shows, Cabaret.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play.
Cabaret was an idea of so many people's, I can't tell you. It was out there in the world. I thought they were all trivializing it. And I thought, they're making a happy-go-lucky musical about an English girl who couldn't sing or dance but did both, and went down the drain with her life, but wow, was it fun. A flapper. Well, that didn't interest me at all. You know, Gwen Verdon, I could see her doing it. She'd been brilliant, but why? And when the movie was made with Liza, I thought it was a terrific movie, but I thought Liza was too talented for it. I've always thought that. The girl should not be the central, huge musical theater talent. The girl is an irresponsible breath of life and a good character. But the show is about the rise of the National Socialist Party in Germany and the rise of Nazism. And we made it, and we made a hit out of it, a big hit out of it. So I'm very proud of it. It was controversial in that some people walked out once in a while, but mostly the audience got it. And one of the reasons they got it was that Joel Grey was so seductive in the part and charismatic and interesting. They thought he was cute. I had a woman ask me, why don't you sell dolls of the MC in the lobby? And I said, with or without swastika. And she just hadn't even gone there.
Welcome and bienvenue, welcome. In cabaret, oh cabaret, to cabaret.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Sunday morning, bye.
my root beer float, my root beer float, my root beer float. I got my one scoop, two scoop, three scoop, four. I got my five scoop, six scoop. I'm headed off the dough. I want my root beer float, my root beer float, my root beer float, my root beer float. I got a frosty mug in my hand.
This song probably will never win a Grammy Award, but still a good one, though. My root beer float. You may have guessed it's called I Want My Root Beer Float. No brain freeze here,
just the cold root beer. Not everybody. It's gonna be in my head. Cheer
for a root beer float. I just want a root beer float right now.
Yeah, me too.
I don't care about the song. Get your root beer. Is there anything more delicious and refreshing on a summer night than a nice root beer float? A scoop or two of vanilla ice cream, and then you pour some high-quality root beer on top of it. Even some junky root beer on top of it.
Yeah.
That's delicious right there.
Not a lot can top that.
Have you ever heard of a black cow?
I think so, but I'm not sure what it is.
Black cow is also a frozen drink, which is another name for a root beer float for some reason.
Okay.
Not sure why it's... They're the distinction of the two. But Black Cow is also a delicious root beer float. And then we used to have this all the time at our house when I was a kid. A couple of scoops of vanilla ice cream with Coca-Cola.
It's probably pretty good.
Also very delicious.
Yeah.
Now, my mom used to make it with, thinking that she was going the healthier route. With that horrible diet cola that was just coming out back then.
With the real sugar?
I don't know what kind of chemicals. I'm pretty sure that's why I have no hair now.
Okay, side effect.
Right. Yeah, I think as a 12-year-old, my hair may have begun to have fallen out back then from the combination of the cheap ice cream she was buying. And the Diet Cola, I want to say it was called Diet Right Cola.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, people might remember, but it tasted awful, number one. But it was, in theory, and I've had it done properly, a really nice vanilla ice cream with just good old-fashioned Coca-Cola. I've never had it with the cane sugar Coca-Cola. I got to think that's even more delicious. I think that sounds good to me.
Yeah. Pretty much anything with ice cream involved is going to sound good to me.
You're a big ice cream fan?
Did
I ever get you some rainbow ice cream?
Yes. They brought it here once. It was a fantastic day.
Yeah. That's the greatest ice cream in the history of ice cream.
Yeah, that was a good Sunday.
Rainbow ice cream is pretty darn good now. And is... I don't know if this is better or worse. It used to be that you could only get it at the original Rainbow Ice Cream location at 98th and Western, I want to say, on the south side. Now, I don't know if they've merged with Bona Beef or partnered
with them. I've seen that one, yeah.
But at several of the Bona Beef locations, they now serve Rainbow Ice Cream as well. I think I liked it better when it was really hard to get.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Working for it, yeah.
There's something that's more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting, it's like an In-N-Out burger.
Right.
If you could get an In-N-Out burger any place, I don't know if I would like it as much as the fact that you can only get it when you're in certain Western states.
Yeah, it adds something to it.
Yeah, the unavailability of it. But, those are spectacular, spectacular treats. And I was going to ask, like, what are some of your favorite frozen desserts? Because, it's not super hot today. It's actually kind of quite pleasant outside right now.
This is my ideal weather today.
But people are already, texting in. Apparently, a Coke and ice cream is called a brown cow.
Huh?
When you make it with Coca-Cola and ice cream, as opposed to a black cow, which is root beer and vanilla ice cream. I still say that's the best. The root beer and vanilla ice cream, that cannot be beat.
That's top tier.
Somebody is saying there's something called an orange cow. Orange soda with vanilla ice cream. That sounds super delicious to me.
Yeah.
Like a creamsicle?
Like a dreamsicle.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. People are texting in the name of the horrible diet drink that my mother gave us. Diet Ricola was made with saccharin, which, if I'm not mistaken, has been linked to cancer. So
that's not good.
I don't think Mom knew that at the time when
no.
she was mixing up the drinks. She would also, do you ever have an ice cup where you take your favorite beverage, put it in a Dixie cup and freeze it? And then, you know, it freezes and you've got like a delicious treat. My mom would do that with her diet drink also.
Okay.
So again, that's why I'm pretty sure my hair fell out mm-hmm. back in the day.
Makes sense.
Tab, someone says, was a pretty good diet cola. That was a popular diet drink back in the day as well. Those are the days, Jack and Eli and all you youngsters listening on the show. Be glad you were not born back then, because those beverages were awful. They were awful. What do you guys, you know, if you're going for a non-calorie beverage, what do you go for now?
Water.
I'm mainly a water guy myself, but if I ever need like a soda or something, I like the Dr. Pepper Zero stuff. Oh, I'm sure
Dr.
there's
Pepper's
all like
good.
The
I like Dr. Pepper Zero.
Yeah. I just kind of like grew up drinking Dr. Pepper growing up in Texas, and that's just there was always the Coke Pepsi divide, and we were always, how about this third option? So any Dr. Pepper
Diet
product
Pepper.
For me.
Yeah, that's good. How about the Fanta Zero? Have you had the Fanta?
I like Fantas, yeah.
I like the orange and what did I have? A strawberry Fanta Zero.
That sounds good.
Zero calories and delicious. I'm sure that's what my mother thought back in the day. Same thing. Let me see here. Favorite ice cream? Oh, my favorite growing up. This is interesting. 7-Up and vanilla ice cream.
Huh.
How do we feel?
It probably works.
How do we feel about that?
I think it would probably work.
7-Up and vanilla
citrus
ice.
Like you got like a lemon lime soda with vanilla ice cream. I don't think it would like curdle or anything, but it'd be interesting, right?
I think you're being too polite. Sounds awful to me.
I mean, it's got ice cream in it. I'm not too picky.
Maybe a sorbet.
Eli be way too polite. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I think I'm going to take a full pass on that. That doesn't sound so good.
You can let us try it.
773 area code, Dean Gaiety's ice cream on Commercial Avenue in the 1960s made Coke floats. I actually remember that Gaiety's ice cream wasn't far from my house when I was a kid growing up on the South Side. It was like sort of like an 1890s theme, you know, those old-fashioned kind of themes. I do remember that place. I don't remember specifically what I had there, but not surprised that they did serve that. Okay, now this one sounds good to me. Green River and vanilla ice cream.
That probably worked too. Green River's good. I don't have it that much.
Super, super, super sweet.
Right.
I had some, you know, usually they release it right around St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, Green River's in. I'm going to get some. And I drank it. I had a sip. And I was like, oh, I've definitely outaged this. It's way, way, way too sweet for me now.
Mm-hmm.
Best old-fashioned ice cream place, says the 815 area code, Farrell's Ice Cream. Okay, I think I remember that. Was that in Ford City? Anybody remember Ford City? Let me see, what else do we have here? We've definitely got some ice cream fans on the phone lines here. There is a Rainbow Ice Cream right by me in Lombard now. Yeah, that's the Bona Beef.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of Bona Beef locations, but that one in Lombard is that's a Bona Beef location.
Yeah, they're connected.
Yeah. Our family treat was hot chocolate pudding. over Neapolitan ice cream.
I love Neapolitan ice cream.
Me too.
Top tier.
You are you're a fan of the variety.
Oh yeah, 3-in-1.
Don't you have a favorite though? Is there one that you eat first? One flavor that you eat first?
I think I go for the strawberry first.
Because you like it most, or you just want to get rid of it?
I think because I like it the most.
Huh.
Might be a hot take, but okay. That's how the hammer works.
And do I need to have like a sound effect drop for him now, like I'm a jackhammer?
A hammer, yeah.
Might have to workshop that.
And we know he's right on the edge of being angry Jack.
He's got a catchphrase now. This isn't crazy.
Yeah, we don't want to push him because
I still see the roads closed.
He could snap at any time this morning. Best ice cream is Margie's in Bucktown. That place has been there for 100 years, maybe literally 100 years. Margie's is Armitage and Western. That's a fantastic place. 773 area code. Dean, do you remember phosphate drinks? Do either of you youngsters remember phosphate drinks?
I do not.
My grandparents would make them for me whenever I'd visit.
Oh, those are fantastic.
I always use the Doc Brown soda as well.
Yeah. Oh. Chocolate syrup.
Yes, yes.
And a sparkling water or some kind of carbonated beverage.
I think we'd normally use like a Diet Coke or something.
Yeah.
But I remember them always being great. And then since it was my grandma, bottomless refills all night long.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a grandma for you right there. I don't know what the difference is. On the East Coast, I believe a phosphate is called an egg cream. And I'm not 100% sure why. I want to say, I have no idea if this is correct or not. And, you know, God forbid this is not the first time I've said something on the radio that I'm not sure whether it's true or not. But I think the difference is that they take the white of an egg, mix it in with the drink, and then mix it up, and it gets foamy. The egg white foams up like a meringue. That's basically just whipped egg white.
I've seen that in a cocktail before, but not in like a phosphate or anything.
I think there is such a thing called the egg like a friend of mine from the East Coast loves chocolate egg whites or chocolate what did I call
egg them? Cream
egg creams. He loves chocolate egg creams, and I think the difference between that and a chocolate phosphate is the egg whites. Maybe somebody will check in and tell us the difference here. 312-981-7200. Wow, the phone line is just exploding. For Jack, Neapolitan is great, but Spumoni is better.
I don't know what that is.
Spumoni is an Italian Neapolitan ice cream.
Oh, it sounds great.
It's an ice cream of several different flavors, much like a Neapolitan, except like it might have little bits of fruit in it. You know, to go along with whatever fruit flavor the ice cream is. Spumoni is pretty good.
Sounds good.
I don't know if I'm going to go so far to say it's better, but Spumoni is pretty darn good. I will say that. Well, we've got a lot of ice cream fans on our
phone. You riled them up, Dean.
Phone lines today. I always say, you know, never mind immigration. never mind the National Guard is coming in. We've got ice cream to talk about, and that
desserts.
Made our phones explode.
Chicago's very own WGN.
Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
It's Sunday morning in our quiet little white bread redneck mountain town.
11:36. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Man, did we ever open up a can of worms. In the last half hour, we're talking about our favorite summertime ice cream treats. Started off with root beer floats, went to black cows, brown cows, white cows, orange cows. Cows of every color of the rainbow, pretty much. And that moved on now to different ice creams, different ice cream treats. I talked about my favorite rainbow, the original rainbow ice cream, which is much more available around the Chicago area now, and it being the greatest ice cream in the history of ice cream. I still believe that. But 708 area code says, Dean, try a Regal cone at Whitney's in Tinley Park. It's better than a rainbow cone. Well, that's heady talk, my friend. I might have to fight you for this. Better than a rainbow cone? I don't know. It says here, the orange sherbet is like eating a fresh orange. Well, that does sound pretty delicious. They've been on Oak Park Avenue in Tinley since the 1950s. Well, that says something. You've been around that long. See, you're doing something right, I guess. 630 area code, Dean, I will always remember a friend's sister taking us to the opening day of a drugstore at York and Valet and Elmhurst for a chocolate phosphate, which is chocolate and sparkling water, sparkling drink of your choice. We learned the difference between that and an egg cream, which also contains milk, which, you know, some people absolutely love. 331 area code. Man, did this ever ring a bell of nostalgia for me. Dean, can't beat Dog and Suds root beer float in a frosted mug. Oh, baby. Boy, do I remember Dog and Suds. There was a Dog and Suds. Which south suburb? I don't remember. But here's what I do remember. My very first car, and piling all my friends into it like all responsible teenagers do. We, instead of going to get beer or something, we would go to Dog and Suds just to show you what losers we were. We would go to the Dog and Suds where they hung the tray on your car window and bring out these beautiful, these giant, heavy, frosted mugs of delicious, thick and creamy root beer is all I could say. It tasted like it was creamy. It was so delicious. That's my Dog and Suds memory. Did they sell? Of course they sold food. That's where the dog comes from, right? It's got to be hot dogs and root beer, I would think. But I want to say they had burgers and stuff. But we went strictly pretty much for the root beer. What a memory that was. Dog and Suds. Somebody said that there was 630 or area code says it was on Oak Lawn, in Oak Lawn on Cicero Avenue. No, this was further south. I want to say this was near Sauk Trail, Crete, someplace. It was really someplace pretty far south, really far south, way more south than Oak Lawn. Somebody probably will remember. 815 area code says there's an original Dog and Suds in Richmond, just north of McHenry. Now, I looked this up during the break because I was kind of curious if there are still Dog and Suds around. If they still come out to your car, do they still have the servers on the roller skates? They skate out to your car with these trays and hang them on your car windows? I would love that if that was the case. Because how else am I going to spill root beer all over the inside of my car?
I'm trying to imagine them setting up a tray on like the side of a Tesla.
Of course the windows open on a Tesla.
It just seems
don't
like
the doors open like wings on a Tesla, right? Do they or no?
I think some of them might. A lot of them open like a standard car door, but just seeing like a Cybertruck in a 1950 style drive-in, yeah. I think is just a funny visual on its own.
Yeah, old school a tray hanging on the side of a Tesla. Here's the history. According to their website, dogandsuds.com, Dog and Suds had a humble beginning back in 1953 in Champaign, Illinois. Who knew that? When Don Hamaker and Jim Riggs, two music teachers from the University of Illinois, opened a hot dog stand and root beer stand. Rapidly, Hamaker and Griggs' success became known in central Illinois, which led them to forego their teaching profession and get into the fast food franchising business full-time. Dog and Suds in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s became one of the most successful fast food franchises in the country. Not a bit surprised. It was so delicious. 71 years later, Dog and Suds is still alive with 20 restaurant locations around the country, and retail sales of their world-famous root beer through a network of distributors nationwide. Customers love the old-time look and feel of a classic drive-in and travel near and far for an opportunity to enjoy a world-famous Coney dog and cool off with one of our handcrafted world's creamiest root beer. Well, the root beer was delicious. Here are my questions, Your Honor. Do they still serve it in the glass mug? I'll bet they don't. I'll bet it comes in a flimsy paper cup now. I'll bet it's not the same. I'll bet I would be super disappointed if I went there. I'm starting to get depressed right now. I have pre-depression, even though I probably will never go there. Where's the closest one? Is there one anywhere near? Are there some still in the Chicago area? I would go to check it out. Just for, you know, strictly for nostalgia, strictly for research purposes, of course. 630 area code. We had one here in Montague, Michigan that operated until a few years ago. The owner became ill and the business is now for sale, totally intact and original. There you go. Maybe I need to buy that. Maybe I need to be the one to bring back Dog and Suds. There is a Dog and Suds in Grays Lake. Okay, that's good to know. You can still buy Dog and Suds root beer at Woodman's. Not the same. Not the same buying it at a grocery store. It could not possibly be the same. I want to pull up in my car. I want to roll the window almost the whole way down, have them hang a tray on my window, and serve me in a frosty glass mug the delicious creamy root beer. I'm going to guess they don't do that anymore. There's an A&W in Joliet with car hops serving frosty mugs of root beer. Okay, that's good to know. Now all I got to do is go out to Joliet. Find a reason to head out that way. Let me see here. this is so crazy. Our phone line is blowing up. It's like a roulette machine right now, a slot machine. 847 area code. When I used to work near the Wisconsin border, there were a few Dog and Suds up in Lake County. There's a Bone of Beef in Skokie with Rainbow Cone. That I know. It's on 2E near McCormick, a few blocks away from Lincolnwood Town Center. Yeah, I've seen that one there. So I do know that Rainbow Cone has partnered or merged or something with Bone of Beef, that they're part of their deals right now. But anyway, all of these delicious frozen treats, can't beat them, and our phone line's exploding with them. Do you have a couple? We'll spend a few more minutes on this. 312-981-7200.
WGN.
11:50, Dean Richard Sunday morning, WGN. We'll get into a little food time action in our next hour. Back-to-school menu items coming up in a little while. Tomorrow on WGN-TV Morning News, one-on-one with Helen Mirren, one of my favorite actresses of all time. She is on my list of can do no wrongs. Helen Mirren can do, and she could read the phone book, and I still would love it. She's the greatest. Talking with Helen Mirren and also her co-star in a new series, Pierce Brosnan, former 007 star, tomorrow on WGN-TV Morning News. Looking forward to that. 608 area code. Dean, been enjoying spending my Sunday mornings with you and your team for years. Thank you very much for that, by the way. We appreciate it. Speaking of root beer this morning, root beer floats and Bob Surratt go together hand in hand. He is the world's expert. The best ice cream is custard from Culver's. They do have good custard at Culver's, I will say that. And they make smoothies with their custard and lemon ice with assorted flavors like raspberry, which is my favorite. Yeah, I got to go along with all those things. I got to say, for, you know, considering it's a fairly new company, the quality of Culver's is pretty good. It's really good. 773 area code, Dean, in the 1960s, we would go to Warchowski to buy auto parts. Now, I happen to remember this because, you know, I have three older brothers, one of them a car fanatic. As a kid, he was a car fanatic. He grew up and restored cars. He's always been a car fanatic. And when we were kids, we would often go to Warchowski to buy auto parts for him to rebuild stuff for cars that he went to. When we got to Warchowski's, there were over 100 tickets in front of us. So we went to 127th Street, Dog and Suds. We would eat and then come back to Warchowski's and only had to wait 10 minutes to get waited on. Wow, what a complex memory that is of going to the auto parts store and making a pit stop at Dog and Suds in the meantime. In the meantime, though, on the subject of Dog and Suds, a couple of comments on this. 630 area code. Dean, love your show. Thank you very much. The root beer doesn't taste the same to me. They had to take something out. It does not taste the same. This is according to one person checking in with us. On the other hand, other people are saying, yes, you can still get a root beer float in a glass mug, and you can buy the mug if you want to. That's a nice idea to get some genuine Dog and Suds glass mugs, probably made in China these days. 309 area code. It is exactly as you're describing, Dean. Tray on the window. Corn dog with onions and a mug of the famous root beer is what I go for. I don't think I ever had a corn dog at Dog and Suds. I guess I would always just get a dog. Honestly, I don't even remember getting food. I just remember the root beer. But I probably did get, I would guess, probably a hot dog. 219 area code, if you come to Michigan City, Indiana, on Carlson Drive, there is a Dog and Suds with everything that you have mentioned. Yeah, so there's plenty of good stuff there. We could go on and on. I'm telling you, the phone lines have exploded here. I haven't seen the phone lines explode like they have this morning for the ice cream, root beer, and Dog and Suds conversation for this morning. A lot of people remembering Peterson's ice cream as, a favorite. A lot of people remember Cunis's ice cream as their favorite. That was a Southside favorite. Still is, as I understand it. When I was a kid on 79th Street, there was a Cunis candy shop. It was run by a little old Greek man. And he would make homemade candy every single day that was delicious. And he had, an old-fashioned ice cream parlor in his place as well. And he moved, I don't know in what year, out to, maybe South Holland, something like that, 159th Street, where I'm told that Cunis's still operates out there. I haven't been there in decades. But if the quality is like it was back in the old days, you know, sometimes your memories are better than reality, but my memories of this place was still pretty great. People just, remembering different places. Oh, here's a place that I remember that a lot of people do, and I drive by it every once in a while. Dean, love your show. Richardson Root Beer at Hamburger Heaven in Elmhurst is delicious. Great hamburgers with their special sauce. Yeah, I've seen that place. It's kind of a round building, and I seem to remember it as a kid. I don't think I've ever been there as an adult, but we have some great places. And with this nice weather that we're going to have the next week or so, perfect time to take advantage of a lot of this. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll get into a little mini version of our food show today. We're off at 12:30, so we just have an abbreviated show, but I want to get to some back-to-school recipes and see if you have some favorites that your kids or grandkids really enjoyed for back-to-school treats. 312-981-7200 when we come right back.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something of me?
Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
And welcome in. A little early version of our Food Time show today. We're off early at 12:30 today. Make room for some race car action coming up at 12:30 on the dot. So we present to you Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible program. Heard every Sunday. Talking a little bit earlier about the incredible peach cobbler that I made on TV this past Wednesday, my regular cooking segment, every Wednesday right around 9:30 in the morning. And I love making desserts on the grill outside. Although I made the peach cobbler, I did make in the oven. It was a logistic thing, but can easily be transferred outside if you don't want to heat up your kitchen and turn the oven on. But fresh peaches are everywhere right now. Stone fruit is everywhere right now. It's that time of year. And if you're not making a peach cobbler, a cherry cobbler, a strawberry cobbler, strawberry and rhubarb cobbler, holy smokes, that's delicious. You know, you name it. The cobblers are so easy to make. Not going to go into all the details right now because we've got the recipe posted. We've got the video posted of me making it. And as I say, it could not be any easier. I would highly recommend doing it with fresh fruit. It makes a big difference. But, you know, if, you know, time is of the essence to you, if convenience is of the essence to you, this is a recipe which can easily be made with frozen peaches, frozen sliced cling peaches, so they hold together when you cook them. Super, super, super delicious, I promise you. The recipe at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. That's where we keep all of the recipes. That's where we keep all of the videos. So you can take a look at some of the things that I've made and see if some of those things appeal to you. What I'm going to be doing this coming Wednesday are some back-to-school suggestions, kid-friendly recipes, I guess you might say, which, you know, often means super simple, not overly spicy, you know, stuff that, like, kids like to eat. I didn't want to do anything like that's, like, chicken nuggety. I don't know about you, but, like, my nieces and nephews, if they could live on a diet of chicken nuggets for the rest of their lives, they would. And probably not the best idea. I'm hoping somewhere in the next decade or two that habit is broken and try to expose them to some different things. But I've got a few suggestions. And I'm wondering, like, what are the biggest, you know, first of all, as a parent or grandparent, it has to be easy, right? You've got a million things going on. You've got lots of things to do, and you don't have a lot of time to spend in the kitchen. So it's got to be something that's fairly simple, really delicious, I hope nutritious also at the same time. Yet, when I say nutritious, still something that the kids will eat. There's no point in putting something together and, you know, the kids are not going to touch it because, you know, they don't like this or they don't like that. But, you know, as the clever chef, you have to find a way to, like, work some things in there. So I've got a couple of ideas, but I'm wondering, what about you? 312-981-7200. Do you have something that's really that's a good after-school treat or a good, you know, a dinner that can be put together quickly, something the kids can take to school with them maybe? 312-981-7200 if you've got some ideas. This is what I'm going to be making on my cooking segment this coming Wednesday. I know kids love mac and cheese. Kids love mac and cheese. Who doesn't love mac and cheese? Everybody does. But, you know, not the easiest thing in the world, you know, to eat certainly is finger food. So here's my idea. I make a delicious mac and cheese. I don't want to use the chicken nuggets, but I want to throw some protein in there. I want to get some healthy protein in there for the kids. So I will either roast the chicken myself, or if you're time pressed, like most of you are, who are, you've got a house full of kids, go to the store, get yourself a rotisserie chicken, take all the skin off, get rid of all the bones, and now you're left with all this wonderful, delicious chicken. Shred it up a little bit. Just take your hands and shred it up a little bit. And mix that in with the mac and cheese. So now you've got, you know, if you want to do the Kraft macaroni and cheese, I'm not going to fault anybody who's trying to save a few minutes. You know, if they've got kids, time is of the essence. Kraft macaroni and cheese, I have never turned a plate down. It's, you know, certainly plenty delicious. But if you make it from scratch, it's really not that much more complicated. You make a macaroni and cheese from scratch. I will have the recipe posted. I don't have it posted right now, but I will. Make the macaroni and cheese. Take the shredded chicken that you've just made and mix it in together. So now you've got this mixture of the mac and cheese and the seasoned chicken. Take a tortilla. I would say at least a 9-inch tortilla, soft tortilla, 9, 10 inches, I think, you know, a fairly large size one. You know, lay it down flat on the table and put a big glob of the mac and cheese and chicken mixture right in the middle of it all and make yourself a burrito. Make yourself a mac and cheese and chicken burrito. Put the mac and cheese chicken mixture in the middle of the tortilla, and then give it a roll, give it a fold, give it a roll, give it a fold, until you've got yourself a nice burrito. Throw it on a skillet to brown the outsides of the tortilla, and you've got a fantastic finger food, basically, something that the kids can hold on to with their hands. They're getting the protein from the chicken, they're getting the mac and cheese, which they love. And they're getting a delicious toasted tortilla that you can serve for dinner. You can wrap it up. It's a delicious something they can take to school. Super easy, simple, delicious, and also nutritious back-to-school idea. How about you for some ideas? 312-981-7200, and we come right back.
We're Chicago's very own WGN.
And I also wanted to remind you that you can join me for a free Dean's Night Out at the Paramount Theater in downtown Aurora. Doing another one of our giveaways to join me to see a show at the Paramount. Their latest is Come From Away, based on the true story of 9/11, September 11th, when all of the planes were grounded, and 38 planes were all diverted to a small town in Canada, and how the 6,500 passengers there were unexpectedly stranded and welcomed by the Canadians. Come From Away is an amazing musical I would love for you to join me to see it on September the 7th. We're going to go out there. 10 winners will join me. 10 will win a pair of tickets to join me on my special Dean's Night Out. And it's a very simple way to get tickets. That's by entering at WGNradio.com/contest. WGNradio.com/contests. Sweepstakes end tonight, Sunday, August 24th, 11:59 p.m. So get online today and enter for an opportunity to win. And hopefully we will be seeing you out there on September the 7th at the beautiful Paramount Theater in Aurora. So this coming Wednesday on my TV cooking segment, we are going to be doing some back-to-school recipes, and in particular, this mac and cheese and chicken burrito. And I'm looking for some recipe ideas from you at 312-981-7200. 331 area code, Dean, I love your burrito idea. I would also toss in some roasted grape tomatoes, frozen peas, or spinach to get some veggies into the kiddos. You know what I thought about that? And then I wondered, are the kids going, will they eat it? If you've got the veggies inside, roasted grape tomatoes are delicious. They're sweet, and they would go perfectly with the mac and cheese and the chicken. So, yeah, I say, definitely throw those in. Will the kids eat peas? I'm not sure if they will. I love them. I think it would be great. Or just, throw some spinach in there, chop it up. So you barely see it, I guess, right? And include it. It'll get all covered up in the mac and cheese anyway. So the kids are very unlikely to see it anyway. But, yes, I'm all for throwing some veggies in there to fool the kids into to eating those. Here's the 312 area code. Dean, my 11-year-old, would also eat chicken nuggets every meal if possible. Costco sells a big green bag of chicken chunks, which are great. My kids also love Sloppy Joe's. I do manwich, not homemade, and he loves it. And grilled cheese with different kinds of breads and cheeses. Also some fantastic ideas. I love all of these. Wednesday, 9:30 in the morning is when we'll do my TV cooking segment. For now, though, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Bob Sirott Show and every weekday morning between 8 and 8:30.